Welcome to Not Work, Myth, and Storytelling. This is the show where ancestral wisdom meets the modern imagination. I'm your host and lead storyteller, Marisa Gowdy. I'm a myth worker, a story healer, and a writing coach. I'm the author of The Sovereignty Knot, A Woman's Way to Freedom, Power, Love, and Magic, and the founder of the Writer's Knot and Author's Knot communities. On Knot Work, we explore the mythology and folklore of Ireland and beyond. Whether you're drawn to Celtic culture and the power of the landscape, or whether you just like a good story and expansive conversation, you're in the right place. Fáilte. If you love what you hear and want to support the show, I'd be so grateful if you'd become a paid subscriber to my Myth is Medicine newsletter over on Substack. Look for the link at the top of the show notes or visit mythismedicine.substack.com. Season 6, episode 39, the last episode of the season and of the year. Before we immerse ourselves in today's episode, I wanted to let you know that the doors are now open for the 2026 edition of The Author's Knot. This is our intimate 10-month online writing program for thought leaders, memoirists, novelists, and heart-led visionaries working on a book or another big project in the new year. The Author's Knot will help you strengthen your voice, clarify your message, deepen your craft, and truly commit to your creative work so that you can bring the fullness of your vision to life and to the page. This will be the second year that I'm offering this program, and I'm grateful to say that 2025's program was a deep and nourishing success. Here's what one of our members, Diane, says about her membership in the group. For me, it takes a village to write a book. Not just any village, but rather a community of like-minded writers eager to give birth to their own projects while serving as midwives for mine. The Author's Knot is this community. Together, we encourage, celebrate, and tease out each other's greatness while holding sacred the space where meaning, purpose, spirituality, and words connect. Marisa guides us with her gentle wisdom, skill, and intuition to support us even in the most tender phases of our work. I'm honored to be part of this beautiful community for the second year. I am beyond touched to be able to share words like these, and I would be honored to hold space for your words in the year to come. Visit my website, marisagowdy.com, and look for the Author's Knot. I'm now taking applications for the program that begins at the end of January 2026. Solstice rays and omen days. So this is a time of story. We're releasing this on the day of the winter solstice as we stand at the edge of that holiday that we all know so well here in the Western world. The Nativity is the foundational story of Christianity, and that's become a foundational story of what we've been taught to call Western culture. Now, if you can pull the narrative from the theology and the religion that's been layered on top of it over centuries and centuries, you realize that we've built so much of our culture on this story of the Nativity, of the Christmas story, because it's such a powerful, compelling tale. Think about it. Think about how it works. After a deeply strange and miraculous conception, a young pregnant woman and her husband, who's not the father of the baby, get caught up in the demands of the faceless bureaucratic machine, and they must travel during the darkest time of the year at what's the worst possible ninth-month moment for a woman. And she must give birth without the support of her community or any women at all. And those standard versions of the stories, the ones we're told in church and in children's books, they close the manger door and skip past the pain and the mess and the peril, and then they just pick up at what almost seems inevitable. She survives the birth, the baby thrives, the marriage is strengthened, not destroyed by the arrival of a child who doesn't share the man's DNA. And then there's the denouement of the story of a Jewish girl who wouldn't have seemed any different than any other girl in the Galilee. And that somehow involves the appearance of a magical star and the arrival of gift-bearing kings. It's a story that's more than a story. It's a story that's more than a story because we know now it's a foundation of faith. But it's also a story that works because it's built according to the basic precepts of what makes story work. Now, I was raised on this story, and there's a good chance that you were too. Even if your family was rooted in a different narrative, or if they were indifferent to Christianity, this story of Christmas, it's in the air and in the culture. It's what's deep beneath the Black Friday deals and the reason why almost everyone has December 25th off from work. You know this. You know the power of this story, so it's almost not worth remarking upon. But it is in itself remarkable, and it offers further support for that thing that storytellers say so often. You know, story is at the heart of our humanity, and stories shape the way we see and experience the world. It really does, all the way down to the calendar and the rhythms of the year and how we gather together with family and how we understand that this is the time when things are meant to stop and take on a different tempo. But then, of course, at the same time of year, there are the stories that we don't know, that in many ways go untold. Perhaps that's because they didn't have a strong enough opening hook as the Annunciation, or maybe they didn't build a tension that just about everyone can understand. Think about it. Think about the Christmas story and the way that we see individuals suffering at the hands of a system that cares about consolidating its own power more than it cares about the life and death realities of the people who make up that system. Yeah, it's impossible to know the stories of people who are destroyed by the system. It's impossible to know the stories of people who may have come before every system we've ever known about and really been able to imagine. I'll stop being vague here, and I'll name what I'm thinking about. Specifically, since you know this story has such deep Irish roots, and when we speak of the winter solstice, there's got to be something about Newgrange here, right? That great passage tomb along the River Boyne, that place where the sun pierces into the deepest chamber for just a handful of mornings each year. There's a story by the Irish writer Colm Tobin that weaves itself around this remarkable place. Because as far as we know, Newgrange is quite storyless. The Shortest Day is a novella that he published in 2020. And I think I first read it the year it came out, that when that particular winter solstice would have seemed like the darkest in a long, long time. Now, in the story, Tobin imagines the winter day in 1967 when Professor Michael O'Kelly witnessed the way the light pierced that inner chamber of Newgrange for the very first time in a very long time. This tomb, which is older than Stonehenge and the pyramids, was built in alignment with the sun upon the winter solstice. And then that secret was forgotten. Because think about it, now that we know that we can watch it live streamed on YouTube from the Irish Department of Public Works, it's become quite the phenomenon. But we've only known about this. We moderns have only known about it since 1967. Because that secret was forgotten, just as the people who conceived and constructed of this monument have been forgotten. As far as we know, they made it sometime around 3200 BCE. These people, these mysterious builders, they came before the Celts. And all they left behind was stone rather than story. This is a quick passage from The Shortest Day. "Some people," her grandmother went on, "do not even think about the light at Newgrange. For them, it's a rumor, an old story. It's like ghosts and fairies. But there are others who know it is true, even feel it in the air on the morning of the solstice, who bow their heads in that time as they might bow their heads in prayer at the ringing of a bell. And more than anything, I've heard from my own mother, who was visited by a spirit, that no outsider should ever be told about the appearance of the light, because it is something that does not belong to this world. it should never be mentioned. Even those who knew about it have learned not to discuss it with each other. For centuries, it has remained a secret, and for centuries more, I hope the secret will be guarded. But why? Because we must all know our place in the great scheme of things. We respect mystery and silence and spirit. Just as I would not poison a field or a river, I would wish to do justice to the dead. I encourage you to seek out this story. At least in the States, it's available on Amazon, and it's worth the not so very long sitting it takes to really immerse yourself in this story. Okay, so why are we telling these particular stories in this particular way right now? Well, let's think about the way in which we've been left with the Star of Bethlehem and how we place it on our own Christmas trees. And how that's so ubiquitous, when we certainly are not learning rituals about channeling the light of the rising sun on the winter solstice. Instead, we've built an entire culture around the conception, birth, and death of one man. As an aside, I purposefully don't say life there, as I feel we've largely failed to build a culture around the life of Christ. But we focused on who he was, or how we imagine he was, how he was born and how he died. And in that time, humanity has forgotten the miracle of engineering and whatever was even deeper, that hope of light's returning that inspired the people so many millennia ago at Newgrange. So this is a time of both story and storylessness. And we're wrapped in the mystery either way. The mystery of the unseen, of the divine, of what is greater than all of us. The mystery of the chosen one, the chosen place, the chosen time. The mystery of why the sunlight waxes and wanes over a year. The mystery we still have to wonder about, of how the ancients could build something so sophisticated and how they transported such tremendous stones dozens of miles before the invention of the wheel. The mystery of why we are here, and whether we're alone, and whether there's a plan, and what happens after, and all the mysteries. But before we can ask these questions about the mysteries of what happens in the next life, we have to ask our questions about what's going to happen next year. I'm offering this story of Christmas and this unstory of the solstice to introduce a practice that might help you transition from the old year into the new, from the known into the unknown. Now, at the simplest level, it's about collecting 12 signs over 12 days at the start of the year to help you gain insight into what each of the 12 months might offer. Now, just as there are many traditions, many stories, many sources, many approaches, there are many different ways to collect these signs and symbols. It depends on your temperament, your belief, and your own sense of timing. So you might want to start collecting these signs and portents today, on December 21st, the day of the solstice. It's what I did last year, and I've been thinking of it as collecting rays of solstice. A handful of light, of glimmer, of insight to carry me into the next year. From December 21st to January 1st, you might look to the skies or to the tarot cards or to the random song that's playing when you get into the car. Inspired by that moment of illumination, each day, you might just find something that will help you understand the shape of January, February, March, and beyond. I was inspired to start this practice last year by that moment of illumination on the solstice at Newgrange. And that might feel right to you, to connect to these ancestors from prehistory and meet the New Year's mystery on the day that they would have met the sun. There's also another tradition that has some more recent historical roots. Kathleen Matthews writes about the omen days, those intercalary days that were appearing on the medieval calendar and stretched from December 26th to January 6th, from St. Stephen's Day, or Wren Day, to the Epiphany. These are the traditional 12 days of Christmas, and they end on what I was raised to call Little Christmas by my French-Canadian grandmother. You might have think of it as Three Kings Day. It's when the Magi finally arrived, following that star, and brought those presents, those gifts to the manger. When I was little, we could count on one last present for Christmas and a big helping of tortiere if we happened to be at Nana's house that night. So to be honest, here we are. I'm recording this a few days before the solstice. I'm not sure which version I'll do this year. I am at last fully embracing the fullness of my both and also self. There's the parts of me that weave together the Catholicism of my childhood and the paganism of my teenage rebellion, and then the wide-ranging mysticism of my adulthood. All I know is I really need 2026 to be a good one, a kind one, a year I can trust, even though I know we're moving into such great uncertainty. So I plan to keep my options open, to trust my intuition, to be tender with myself. All I know for sure is I'll be paying attention starting on December 21st, and I hope to continue to lavish my attention on the subtle signs of what's possible all the way through the 6th of January. And eventually I'll sit down, collect those ideas together, and have some sort of picture of what may be coming to me, but mostly, of course, of who I am right now. Because any work we do with omens, any sort of work we do when we consult oracles, is about what we bring with us, where we are now, and what we hope for in the future. I don't look at these practices as fortune-telling, as much as I look at them as an opportunity to understand how deeply fortunate I am, and also understand the ways in which I hurt and ache and need and yearn, and I'm driven by my own heart's desires. So whenever you start, I want to invite you to join with us on January 3rd, which is a Saturday. That's when I will be gathering together members of my writing community, as well as my Myth is Medicine community, the folks who support my work over on Substack with a small monetary contribution each month. As thanks for all the ways that you support my work, I want to offer you an opportunity to make what we do here on Not Work a little more real. We'll be gathering together for 3 hours in an online retreat on January 3rd at noon Eastern. And it'll really be an opportunity to reflect on the year that was and imagine our way into the year that might be. And though it's not essential to have done any sort of Omen Days practice to that point, we'll be lingering there a little bit, and I'll be offering invitations to you to think back on what you've been seeing, feeling, noticing over this liminal space between solstice and the times when January really starts to crank up. Because we know that there's a lot of magic that's possible with a new start and a new calendar. But we also know that, especially for those living in the Northern Hemisphere where it's cold and dark, it's awfully hard to start anything with a great deal of fervor and energy. We're still meant to go gently. We're still in the time between Samhain and Imbolc. We're still in the dead of winter up here. And it's the time to move gently, as I said, and to allow yourself the space to reflect, to understand where it is you stand right now, and to allow your dreams to come to you without force, without agenda, without that naked sense of I need more, but instead with a sense of wonder and a desire to embrace the mystery. So I'll include the link in the show notes, but simply what I invite you to do is visit me over at mythismedicine.substack.com and subscribe. If you're already a subscriber and you'd like to join us, I would invite you to upgrade your membership to the paid level. And that way, I'll send you a link. I'll see you on Zoom, and we'll explore together and see what magic we might be able to cook up. Wherever you are in the world, whether this is winter solstice or summer for you, I wish you many blessings, the opportunity to pause, to slow down, to linger, to listen, to let both the stories and the storylessness hold you right now, because we are both. We are human creatures made of narrative. But we are also beings that are wider than the he said, she said plot points that so often tangle up our attention. I hope to see you on January 3rd. And just a brief note to let you know, I still have a few spots open in the Author's Knot, the 10-month program for those who are really looking to make 2026 be the year that you make deep, impassioned progress on your book or another big creative project. I'm so grateful to say that the 2025 programs were a great success and will be starting anew at the end of January. Again, you can look to the show notes for the links to that, but just visit my website, marisagowdy.com, if you're interested in joining us in the Author's Knot. I hope to see you on January 3rd. I hope we can stay connected throughout 2026. Blessings to you and yours. Be tender. Let the light in, but don't be afraid of the dark. It's all part of it. All of it. Blessings.
Thank you for tuning in to Knot Work Myth and Storytelling. Please subscribe and review the show on your favorite podcast platform, and do share this episode with other lovers of mythology and story. By the way, everyone is a lover of mythology and story, even if they've forgotten. Creating this show is a labor of love, and your support will help me continue to craft and share stories throughout this season and beyond. Please consider becoming a paid subscriber to my newsletter, Myth is Medicine, over on Substack, where you'll find new writing and conversations each week. You can find out more about my writing, my book, our online writing communities, as well as how to work with me as a writing coach at marisagowdy.com. Gratefully, I live, write, work, and record this podcast on the ancestral lands of the Munsee Lenape tribe, whose name means original people. Music on this show is performed by Beth Sweeney and Billy Hardy.